Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker. We have a full crew today talking about franchising here in the Atlanta area. So our format's going to be a little bit different, but very exciting for those of you who are interested or have ever had a question about owning a franchise. We've got a lot of experience here in the room, and we're definitely going to capitalize on that. So Biz Rocket Radio is a show where we get a chance to talk to some of the executives in the Atlanta area, business owners, learn from their experiences, their successes, some of the challenges that they've had, and we look forward to getting a good understanding of where these guys are coming from in the franchise world. So our first guest is Anita Best, and Anita is the founder of Find Your Franchise. And I've known Anita for several months now, working with a group called Kettering in the Atlanta area. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Maybe, Anita, you could tell us a little bit about your background, just so our listeners get an understanding of where you're coming from.
Sure. Well, when I look back over my career, it's pretty easy to kind of connect the dots and figure out how I got where I am today. In my youth, I managed a number of small businesses, everything from a wholesale showroom to several different retail outlets. My last corporate job actually was commercial leasing for the Atlanta Gift Mart. From there, I just saw the little entrepreneurial bug bit me, and I decided to go into business for myself and started selling real estate. Did that very successfully for about 10 years, sold about 75 houses a year, which was a pretty big still is, I guess, a pretty big number for an independent realtor. And then had the opportunity to buy in as a partner to a Keller Williams franchise, which was my first experience with franchising. And I was the managing partner of the Buckhead Keller Williams office for the first 3 years it was opened. We opened in 2001, which was a tough year to start a business, if we all remember. 2001 was a tough year.
It did turn out to be a pretty good year with what happened after that.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. It did. It worked out really well for us. I built that office to about 125 agents in 3 years. So because of that success, Keller Williams asked me to get involved in their coaching program. And they have a really great training program for business coaching. So as part of my responsibilities there, and even after I left actively managing that office, I still helped coach other Keller Williams business owners around the country. Took a bit of a sabbatical to move down to Florida to be closer to my parents who were getting elderly. And when I came back to Atlanta, decided that I wanted to do another franchise because I was still getting passive income from my ownership interests in Keller Williams. And while researching franchising to determine, you know, what I might want to do next, I discovered a franchise broker, this little niche of franchise consulting, and looked back over having owned run a number of small businesses, owned a franchise, run a franchise, the business coaching, it all kind of tied up in a nice little package, and I realized that it was a real good fit for me moving forward. So I'm enjoying it a lot. I consider myself kind of a matchmaker. I help people put together their backgrounds, their skill set, their goals, risk tolerance, capital available, and help match them up with what might be the most appropriate. There's nearly 4,000 franchises out there in 70 different categories, and only about 20% of it is food, so it can be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. So we've got Anita who's got some experience in helping people, a wide variety of different people, find different kinds of franchises. And then we have a couple of actual franchise owners who are in the room. The first is Roy Levy.
Correct.
And Roy, welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm
sure.
glad to be here.
Good.
And share my short experience with franchising.
Yep.
A little bit of background about myself. So I'm a native of Israel, and I arrived to the U.S. Almost 6 years ago. I came originally in order to work for the Israeli Secretary of State and the Israeli Consulate in Atlanta. And also during working there, I obtained my business degree from Georgia State and graduated on last May 2010. And then I have to decide what I'm going to do next. I recently got married, and me and my wife decided that we want to be a business owner. She's a full-time attorney. And we decided that it's going to be a good business opportunity for us to look for a franchise, especially as we're doing our baby step in the business world. Mm-hmm. And as addicted of frozen yogurt, we decided it's going to be a good opportunity to look to have one and to save a little bit on cost of buying frozen yogurt every day. So we researched a little bit, and we found out that Yogli Mogli is a really good business opportunity for that. We met with the franchisor, and here we are after 2 months of operation. We opened in April 2011, 2 months ago. And every day is a new challenge. We're really excited to have that and make people happy.
All right. So Yogli Mogli, have you guys put on like... 10 or 12 pounds from all of the toppings that you use? You're pretty thin. You work out a lot, right?
Thank you. Yeah, I try.
Yeah.
But recently, actually, last 2 months since I opened, I lost a lot of, I would say 10 pounds. really, because it demands, and it's also another recommendation, advice, it requires a lot of work. So people who are willing to do that should consider to spend a lot of time and energy.
Yeah, so you need to be ready to. So if you need to go on a diet, buy a franchise. That's basically what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay, good. Well, we'll hear more from Roy in a minute. Thank you for that intro. Our third guest is the owner of several Sports Clips franchises, and that's Paul Rogers. Paul's actually been on our show before, so he is a veteran of radio. Paul, maybe a little background on yourself.
Good morning. It's great to be back. Appreciate y'all inviting me. I've been in the apparel and sporting goods industry for about 20 years, and with all the consolidations and corporate mergers and moves, I got caught up in that here in Atlanta and decided not to move with the apparel company I was with, and got really lucky. I've spent a lot of time looking at franchises, looking at doing things independently. I had some business experience in that specialty business, for example, so I looked at doing things independent or doing something like an Embroid Me, which is at times has been a very popular franchise. I also have some other experiences that I thought I could do on my own, but franchising seemed to be the thing that was right for me. So I partnered up with some other local business owners about 2 years ago, and we have been opening and building and buying Sport Clips ever since. Opened our first one in April of last year and bought three more within 90 days and just about went underwater. I lost a little weight myself. Not necessarily the best way to do it, but it was a great opportunity and it has paid off great dividends. We've been very excited.
Getting over the hump.
Yes. Yes.
Great stuff. All right. So today's show is going to run a little differently. What we want to do is run this as a panel, and we're going to throw out a general question and you guys can run with it however way you want to. Don't all fight over the mic. You all have your own. So the first question is going to revolve around kind of getting started. So all of you have the entrepreneurial bug, obviously, in one side or another. When you're looking at business ownership, why franchising versus going and buying a standalone business and just operating that or starting your own?
When I started, let's say 7 months ago, my best alternative was to open my own brand. But utilizing all the resources and reading and meeting with people, I decided that buying into a working formula would be a better fit for me. Maybe you pay a little bit more money initially for getting the license and also during the license term because you need to pay royalty fees. But in general, it's a working formula, and especially when the franchisor is committed and supportive, it should be a better formula.
So you've got a formula that's already been in place. you just follow what somebody's done that's kind of been before you, and a little blood, sweat, and tears, and things should work out well.
Correct.
All right.
The statistics kind of prove that out. You know, as a saying in franchising, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. But if you're looking to get a loan for business, the SBA banks are much happier to loan to a franchise business. Landlords will give you more favorable terms. Oftentimes, they don't want to lease to a startup business at all because of business failures. The U.S. Small Business Administration's study said that 62.2% of all businesses, small businesses, non-franchise small businesses, fail within the first 6 years. And according to the U.S. Department of Commerce, less than 5% of franchises are terminated on an annual basis. So, yes, there is a price that you pay, but you're really paying for someone to hold your hand that's done it before you, knows how to do it. It's, again, a big factor, though, is choosing the right franchise.
Mm-hmm. Paul, how about you?
Well, for me, like I said, I looked at doing some things independently, came from Russell Corporation, Fruit of the Loom, had a lot of experience in the print sportswear industry, and thought, while going into that as an ad specialty guy was going to be an easy thing for me. Incredibly competitive, and I don't know if y'all remember when Warren Buffett bought all those trains, and people said, why are you buying trains? He says, well, trains can't be outsourced, and you don't have to compete with the internet on trains. And I kind of took that to heart. You know, the ad specialty business, for example, a lot of that can be done online now. So I got a little intimidated by what my competition was going to be like for that. Some of the other things that I have experience in, again, competition seemed a little rough. So I was looking for something where I did not have to compete against the world, against the internet, and I was looking for something with that was not, well, I won't call it recession-proof, but had some defense against the recession, and everybody gets their haircut. So it was a good match, and I've got great partners that help make it real.
Good. So it gave you an opportunity to have something that already kind of worked out some of the competitions. I mean, obviously, the haircutting arena is fairly competitive.
Very competitive.
You got a lot of people out there, right, in the same space.
Yes, okay. but you know, the playing field's level. I don't have to build a great website. I don't have to build a warehouse. I don't have to house things. I thought it was not necessarily easy, but simple. You know, relatively simple.
Now, what's the difference? I mean, what's a typical cost of opening one of these franchises? I mean, Anita, you might know that because but you guys looked into them, I'm sure. What did you see as a range?
It varies dramatically. I mean, anything brick and mortar, you're going to be at a bare minimum of $100,000, and you can go up to, if you're going to be doing a fancy restaurant or something, you know, you can get up into the millions.
For a franchise?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for a restaurant or a large car wash. I mean, some of the large ones do. But a typical brick and mortar in a strip shopping center, if you don't have a lot of fancy equipment required, is around a couple $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
what y'all found?
That's typical.
Is that typical. About right? Mm-hmm. Because you've done four of them, right?
Yes.
We bought
three.
You bought three, and you're mm-hmm. working on the fourth?
We're actually working on hopefully 5, 6, 7, 8.
aggressive.
We're working hard.
Yeah, you bite off a lot to chew.
Well, you know, one of the things in this economy is, you know, opportunities come up. It's great to have partners like I have, so we can draw money from a lot of people. It's not so much fun. We actually split the money back up.
Right? Yeah,
it's less fun there. but you know, we look for great opportunities and try to take advantage of that. We're not in a desperation mode. We have a great business plan. We work that business plan and try to take advantage of things as we can.
So that kind of leads me into another question that I had is, if you're going into a franchise, do you need to go into it thinking about multiple locations, or are the majority of franchises really just, hey, this is going to be your spot, nuts. If you can just make that sucker run, you can do anything you want to do.
May I address that? Yeah. There's so many different ways to approach franchising. I mean, we're focusing here on brick and mortar locations.
Right.
And depending on if you're want to be a single store operator, you can make a decent living as a single store operator. Many people want to get into multiple units, obviously, because then you become more of a developer of franchises, more of an operator of a group of systems. Or you can even go into it and open one location and purchase a state, become a master developer where you own the rights to an entire state. You become kind of a sub-franchisor and share in the profits of the franchise. The franchise fees, the royalties going forward. So there's so many different ways to approach franchising that people sometimes aren't even aware of. And then there's a lot of home-based franchises, which oftentimes you can get into them for a third the cost or less of a brick and mortar location, and they typically have a much higher ROI in the long run. But you've got to make sure that you are built to go out there and do the marketing and make it happen. People aren't going to be coming to you. You're not going to draw off a busy parking lot and signage. You've got to be out there. So it takes a different skill set to be able to operate one of those. So there's so many different ways you can approach franchising. Hmm.
And Roy, what about you? You just got started with the Yogli Mogli. Is your mindset that you'd be into multiple locations, or have you gotten that far?
Actually, I'm debating this big question right now. And it's really tough to decide because in one end, I really want to connect to my customer. But I think that if I'm going to open a second or third location, I'm going to lose this connection. That's all about the Yogli Mogli being part of the community.
Right.
So that's a big question that I'm having right now because I want to create value to people, to create the experience so people will come back. And it's hard for me as a business owner to lose a little bit of this connection with my customer. But we've been in operation only 2 months and we got a really positive feedback from our customer. And we're looking forward maybe to open another one or another two soon.
And Paul, I think I know your answer to that. That's the direction that you went from right from the beginning, right?
Yeah, we did a lot of research comparing Atlanta to Nashville, comparing Atlanta to Dallas, Birmingham, Charlotte, a lot of areas, and how many sport clips can they support?
Right.
The franchise is headquartered in Texas, and Dallas is the most developed area. We saw a lot of opportunity to develop stores in Atlanta. We have 17 in the metro Atlanta area right now. We can hold many, many more than that. Just up and down 400, we can hold many more than that. So, yeah, our plan was just to get to 15 in 5 years. That's our plan. We're on that path right now. We may do some of it building. We may do some of it acquiring. There are different ways to do it. We're just waiting for the right opportunities, and I think that should be part of anybody's plan and research is, you know, exactly what are your financial goals? Does the franchise that you're getting involved with, is it going to give you the opportunity to do that? If we were trying to get into Dallas, for example, we would only be able to do this basically by purchasing. It's so saturated.
Mm-hmm.
So in purchasing is a different
animal, ball game,
right? You got to figure out what you're willing to pay times earnings. And, you know, you got to figure out those calculations in your business plan.
What's been the biggest surprise that you guys have had going into franchising, both positive and negative?
I can start with the negative.
Okay.
It's always easy. So we are really disappointed with the lending communities. That's our first business, and we had to bring a lot of money from home, a lot of capital. I brought some money from Israel. I used my family, the same with my wife and my business partner. But we approached, I would say, 6 or 7 banks, and we found out that the banking system is very strict. A lot of paperwork, and they require you to bring a lot of equity, and it's still not easy. Right now, we are in the final process of signing the SBA guarantee loan,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense more to the banks, but it was a long process, and it's not an easy one. But if people are determined to get it and they have a solid business model, I believe that it should work for both the banking system and their potential franchisees, especially if the business is working well and the franchisor is committed to help the other businesses.
And how about on the positive side?
I found that the people, just like Anita and Paul, are very helpful, and that was part of my decision to go into franchising, is speaking with the previous owners and people who know the field, and the professional that can give a little bit of their insight about the process of franchising, just like our show today, which I think is a great idea. So I found that people really willing to help, especially with this kind of economy, and they believe that that's the right thing, especially if every business can bring a direct 10 more employment, much more employment to the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm. Great. Anita, what have you found?
Well, I just wanted to add or kind of to what you were saying about the lending situation right now. We all know that the economy is less than stellar. But one where I'm finding a lot of my candidates are funding their businesses. I work with a lot of senior level executives that have lost their jobs, and they kind of come kicking and screaming to, I better look at franchising because they got a little coin in their pocket and they've got kids going to college. And, you know, the job market's not what it used to be. Many of them don't realize, and what a lot of them are doing to capitalize their business is you can use a self-directed 401k. Oftentimes people don't have enough funding otherwise, and for whatever reason they, you know, they can't get a loan. So you can do a self-directed 401k without any interest or penalties. There are some restrictions. You want to make sure you go with a well-established company that's been doing it for a long time, but it is a resource that some people can use if that's all they've got.
Okay. And what about positive and negative experiences when you got into franchising in the beginning?
Well, you know, Keller Williams was just a wonderful franchise. They're one of the... It's hard for me to take off and put on my consulting hat and my Keller Williams hat, because not all franchises are a wonderful experience for the franchisees. Sometimes younger franchisees can not have the systems and the models in place that are really what you're looking for when you get a franchise to begin with. Keller Williams was excellent, very well established, very strict systems, which almost seemed onerous at times, the way they had to be followed, the financial model, a lot of the rules, very, very strict. But that's why they have grown from almost nowhere to be one of, if not the most successful real estate companies in the country in a very short period of time. So they're sort of a cookie cutter explanation of why franchising works. So it was a very good experience for me.
Okay, I know this is going to be hard to pull this out, but what's the negative? Anita's, she's a pretty positive person, so I'm going to have to really stand on her toes to get the negative side.
Yeah.
Maybe experiences that people you've worked with, because I know when you consult somebody and they go with a franchise, you keep in communication with them. What's one of the things that you felt like they've had maybe some surprises or negative side of it?
You're right. It's hard to pull those
things
out of me.
Come on. I'm going to let you think about it.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, I think that the biggest thing is it would be if you don't choose a franchise that you have the right skill set for. Many people tend to, when they're looking at going into business for themselves, more look at their passions and what they think they love to do in their off time, and it really might not be right for their skill set. You know, I mean, take the cleaning industry, commercial cleaning. There's a ton of money in commercial cleaning. Nobody is probably going to be passionate about commercial cleaning, but there is a lot of money in it. I'm not saying anybody should do that. I'm, you know, I actually have 18 points that I evaluate a franchise by, and you mentioned many of them earlier, Paul. Things that you're not going to be outsourced by the internet, recurring revenue. You know, looking at those kinds of things when you're evaluating a franchise, that it both fits your skill set and that there's not trends that are coming along that are going to put you in a position where it's not going to be successful for the long term.
Right.
I'm not sure I answered your question.
No, you're good enough. That's I'll give you the pass on that one. Paul, how about you?
Well, my biggest negative surprise actually was hiring great people. We have there are lots of people in the state of Georgia that have the right certifications to be able to cut hair. Sportclips is not just about getting a haircut. It's about a client experience. It's about making people feel good while they're there and the sports environment. And that's not readily available. Or I'm not finding them. If they're listening, please call me. We really struggle with that. We work with schools. We advertise many places, interview a lot of people. So that was a shock to me. I thought really with the employment situation the way it was that we would have a great group of people to search through and find great people for our stores. And we're picky. So, I mean, that's we may have inflicted some of it on ourselves, but the store's been getting better and better, and I'm really happy with our staff right now. But if we're not working on recruiting every day, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
And that's been a big discipline for me. I mean, every single day I need to be doing something, whether it's interviewing, posting on Craigslist, whatever it is, that sending out postcards, whatever it is.
Especially with all the growth that you're doing. I mean, opening stores at a rapid pace, it's not like you got one or two stores to fill and you need four or five employees. You need like 30.
We need a lot of people, and we're growing, so we're looking to hire people that we can move into assistant manager roles so that when we do open up our next store, we've got a person who understands us, we understand them, they know how we work, they understand, and we can move them right into that role. And that was when we started our first store and did not have a manager that was a Sport Clips person. Wow, it was a little tough. It took us over 2 hours to close the register the first day. It was a tough day.
So we're gonna start working on this unemployment rate right now.
Yes.
If you are in the managerial side of beauty salons or something like that, or a hairstylist, call Paul.
Absolutely.
Right? We'll get your number later. All right, so what about the positive side?
The positive, I've been really happy with Sport Clips corporate and the support they've given us. And Roy mentioned this. Sport Clips in particular is like a family. It's been like a family to me. I have traveled to Texas. I've traveled to Tennessee. I've sent my managers to Chicago and Virginia and Arkansas to meet with other team leaders. They give you corporations. They give you the line, right? They do, and they should. I get it. I come from that world. When you go visit the team leaders, that's what we call our owners, and you go visit them and learn their real-life experiences, I have not come across a single team leader at Sport Clips that was not welcomed my phone calls. I've sent them reports. They've critiqued my numbers. Some of it was a little bit of a punch in the nose, but great. It's been really good for us.
So that sounds like a theme for sure on the positive side. What about, you know, one of the things that I talk to clients a lot about is in the franchise world, and one of the downsides that they talk to me all the time about is, yeah, you know, whole franchise thing is all fine and good, but, man, then they got you. You know, all of a sudden I'm a lifer with these guys and I'm making this money. I'm doing all the hard work, but I got to keep paying these fees and these costs and all that. So, and maybe a little bit early for Roy, but on the value side of things, what's the experience been on the money that you have to continue to pay? And are you really getting value for that later on? And I'll start maybe with the Sports Clips side.
I get this question all the time, and I hear it when we go to our national conventions. People are talking about it, and in general, when I'm talking to people about the people that are not content with what they're spending and what they're receiving, are people really not taking advantage of what's offered to them? Sport Clips offers a ton of things. They have a fantastic marketing department. I call with an idea. Odds are I haven't come up with this idea myself, right? Someone in Colorado has already done it. The marketing department says, great, here's the artwork. We'll change your name. 3 hours later, I've got my marketing campaign ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
So the people start separating from the franchise a little bit. They think they figured it out. They stop talking. And those are the people I see that are missing out and start feeling like they're not getting their money's worth. And they're not, but it's not the franchise's fault, in my opinion.
Mm.
The people who stay involved with the franchise, because the franchise is growing. Sport Clips is growing at a tremendous rate. 50% of all the hair franchises opened in the United States last year were Sport Clips. So
wow.
It's still evolving, and how it's managed and all those things are still evolving, and you have to stay engaged. And if you stay engaged, I think you'll get your money's worth. If you don't, well, you probably won't.
Yeah. Roy, what have you found? I mean, just starting off, or maybe some of the research that you've done, what are your feelings on that topic?
I believe that it's a good value for your money, especially with our choice. Going with the Yogli Mogli and the frozen yogurt industry, we found out that the corporate was really supportive since day one, choosing a location and getting training, hiring people, especially for people with no past experience in the industry. That can be a good advantage. And every day we found out that the corporate is committed to help, because it should be a win-win. I believe that's all about the franchising, that both the corporate and the business owner should be positive from this business opportunity. And the Yogli Mogli, which is an Atlanta base, it was one of the factors that we decide on getting Yogli Mogli, because the location of the corporate here in Atlanta, it's much easier to could get an immediate feedback, and if you got an idea, you can just give a call and speak with the CEO of the company. So we are glad about this opportunity.
You know, it's interesting on the Yogli Mogli side. I remember the first yogurt shop that I went to with my kids, and I don't remember which it was. It was one of them, but it was, you know, in Roswell, and it opened up. It was a new concept, and we went there, And next thing I know, I had a $12 bowl of ice cream that I had to pay for my kid. I was like, man, this is great concept. You know,
right.
You go in, there's about 50 cents worth of yogurt in here, a little chocolate chip here, a little this, a little that, a little more weight, a little more ounces, and you put it on. I'm like, my God, that's good stuff. But it seems like the competition there has gotten a good bit more fierce. What types of things does the franchise do in terms of helping you stay competitive against other yogurt places?
Well, first, I think that the store that you went is actually our store, which is the first store in, not my, but the corporate store, which is the first corporate store in Atlanta. It's on Roswell and Abernathy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it may be the same one, but the frozen yogurt, it's really a fast-growing industry, especially the last recent year. It started with in the West Coast, and then it's waved all over the country. And people just like the idea. It's better than ice cream because you can monitor your expense and your diet. We have a 16 flavor, and we have more than 40 toppings, opportunities. You can get a fresh selection of fruit or candies. Everybody can have their own goodies creation. That's what's fun about it. And regarding the corporate, all the time they try to challenge us and make sure we give the best customer experience because, as you mentioned, the competition is really tough, but we try to set apart from the competitor by creating value by experience. It's not all about the product, but more about the smile that you get when you come to the store and having the employees who live in the neighborhood and know that the client and know the customer. So those are really important element of operation.
Okay, good. Perfect. Now, Anita, back to our other question we were talking about, which is the getting value for those ongoing dollars. What's your take on that?
Well, I agree with Paul. It's a question that I get all the time when I'm consulting with my clients. But I tell them that if you buy a condominium, you're going to be paying an association fee every month. And every franchise is different, how much the royalty is going to be and what you're going to get for it. But when you buy a condominium, it may or may not include your gas. It may include your water. It might include your cable. It might include landscaping. There's all different factors. You know, what are you getting for that? And then, again, as Paul said, are you taking advantage of what you can be getting for it? So when you look at that royalty, you've got to weigh it and balance it against expenditures that you would be making even if you did open your own business. You're going to have to do branding. You're going to have to do marketing. You're going to make more mistakes because you're not going to have a proven model or people that you can call across the country that have been through exactly what you're going through now. So that's where the royalty, you know, comes into play. It's got to be evaluated individually for whatever franchise concept you're looking at.
Okay, great. Fair enough. So next question is based on the experience that you guys have had, and Anita, again, maybe extended experience that you've seen. What's the best move that you made in starting your franchise? What's the best thing that you did? Maybe I'll start with Roy.
Okay. I think that the best move would probably use professional, just like as Anita, attorneys, CPA, especially when signing the franchise document and getting, if you have a brick and mortar location. So when signing those complex contract, I really recommend on using professionals, because in the beginning you may thought about people are very limited with their money, especially with this kind of economy. But I believe that's a good investment. So definitely use professionals.
Okay. Paul, what do you think?
For us, I think planning. We spent a long time planning and building our business plan. We spent 5 months to draw up our operational agreement, many renditions. And we asked a lot of advice from people. And we got bad advice and we got good advice, but the more the better. I mean, even the bad advice we're learning from all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't put it in a drawer. Keep your plan as a living document. As you learn, change it. And if you don't change your behavior, once you start learning things, you're going to end up in a hole. So for us, I feel like my partners are really good at being outside the business, seeing the bigger plan, because I get my head sunk into recruiting and into hiring and to, you know, buying some ad specialty thing for the shop. And they're like, well, what about, you know, where are we on the plane? Kind of bring me back to center and make sure we're following that and making adjustments accordingly. Don't expect it to be right. It won't be. But keep working on it.
Well, now you've got partners, right? Mm-hmm. And that's been good for what? Maybe I'm putting you on the spot here. What are some of the positives and negatives of having partners? Because I think you mentioned Roy also that you've got a partner as well, right?
Right. My partner lives in Israel. He's okay. A graduate of MBA with Duke University.
Yep.
He used to live here, but right now is in Israel. And I also got my wife, my attorney wife, that helps a lot.
So you got a silent partner, basically.
Correct.
And then, Paul, what's your setup?
Well, my partners are fantastic resources for me. They own their own construction company, Fulcrum Construction, and they understand what being a partner's like. And it has tough times and it has great times. And they give me great resources for me to use. I use them as a sounding board. I have this idea. I want to do this. And they're pretty hands-off, but they help lead me. They help bring me back to center when I've gotten off into some other land. They're great places to deposit my frustration.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
My wife thinks it's very important. I have somewhere else to go.
And Roy, how about you?
So, as mentioned, my partner lives in Israel, and again, it's a good fit because he comes with his own experience. Everybody brings their own experience. My wife look at it, as I told, she is an attorney, so she look at the legal perspective to the legal prism, while I am a more practical. So it's kind of hard to balance, but as Paul mentioned, it's a good sounding board, and we try to get everybody satisfied. So we try to create more value for ourselves as a business owner, as partners, by bringing more of the better side of us.
So you're able to kind of take the information and knowledge from each person and be able to use that towards building that business even more.
Right, which means just like to use the skills and ability of each individual and try to have a synergy.
Well, Anita, I think I kind of saved you for last on this best move piece of things. You've experienced, again, a lot of people that have gone through the process. What do you think has been consistently something that people have done that's been, look, that's a really good thing to make sure that you're doing? I mean, besides hiring you.
Yeah, obviously that's the most important. I think a recurring theme that both Paul and Roy mentioned, it's all about the people you surround yourself with from beginning to end. From beginning, having the right consultants, whether it be an attorney or somebody like me, real estate agents, understanding the market, your location, you know, is critical. That hasn't changed. To once you do get open, the people that you have working for you, the relationships that you have, all of those things, that never changes. You know, it's like, how do you differentiate yogurt? With the smile, with the customer service. You mm-hmm. know, Paul talked about, you know, having, you might be a great hairdresser, but if you don't give the customer a good experience, they don't leave with a smile wanting to come back, you know, have a chuckle while they're there, whatever. So I really think from start to finish, it's all about surrounding yourself with good people.
And what have you found in terms of the partnership piece? Spouses going into things together, I know that happens a lot. People bringing partners in, people working independently, is there a trend that you see being more successful than others?
Because of the economic environment we're in, a lot of people are looking for partners and needing partners. I always caution people to be very, very careful. More businesses are going to fail because of the partner than are going to be successful. That doesn't mean don't go in that direction.
Right.
But, you know, most marriages don't work, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And relationships are challenging. So you've got to be really careful, first of all, in selecting the right partner. Again, that same theme, surrounding yourself with good people. And that the piece, again, that Paul mentioned, spent 5 months on your agreement with your partners. Is that what you said?
Right.
You know, it's crucial to, in the best of relationships, to understand up front what you're all agreeing to and who's going to do what and how you're going to divvy things up from, you know, expenses to profits to time to decision-making, all of those factors that go into it. Partners can be the best or the worst part of your experience, and yeah. It just has to be entered into very carefully and thoughtfully.
Yeah, and I've worked with a lot of business owners, and being an owner myself, that seems to be a big challenge also. I mean, as you get down the road, the partnership piece, everyone has their own agenda, you know, and right. it does become more complex as you get down the road. But in the beginning stages, it's interesting how you guys have both used that partner piece to kind of be a catalyst for information and knowledge and being able to make decisions. So
gotta have a great prenup.
That's right. Plan for the worst.
That's right. Yeah. So when we get divorced, not if, but we know we will. It's just a matter of when. Here's how it's going to work.
Well, just one more thought. In any business venture, even if you don't have a partner, you've always got to look at exit strategies.
Sure.
And that becomes more complicated with a partner. So you've just got to make sure you really think through all of those pieces.
Okay, so let's go to the negative. What's the biggest regret that you've had, Paul?
Biggest regret I have had is not staying focused on people I'm hiring. Every time I get off of it, I get in trouble.
Yeah.
We will end up, stylists are very mobile. They have a license, they have scissors, there are lots of places to get your hair
cut. They just need a chair.
And if you don't create a great environment, if you don't hire correctly, train correctly, critical, train them, right, on your processes, and then take care of them once they're there. If I'm not working on that, we fail every single time. And I've been hit in the head with that more times than I'd like to admit, because there are all these other things that are going on. You know, Roy's talking about dealing with banks. They take a lot of time.
Yep.
Working on getting your operations set the way you want them, that takes a lot of time. But whatever, it is always secondary to what am I doing to hire the right people, train them, and then keep them. Keep them.
Right. So what would you say your hours are? On a weekly, let's say an average weekly basis, first couple years, you've been doing this for a few years, so.
Right. Well, I'm going to agree with Roy mentioned this earlier. At the beginning, it's stupid. I don't even want to say what it is. Okay.
100.
Just ridiculous. Yeah, it's all the time.
Yeah.
Now it's much more, it's probably closer to 60. Right now,
all right.
Which is, basically what I was doing when I was working at Fruit of the Loom and Russ Athletic. I was putting in that, but I was flying all over God's green earth. Now I'm actually in Cobb County and Fulton County, so I get to sleep in my own bed. So
that's a good.
It's part of what I was looking for in my franchise.
Yeah.
I was looking not to do that anymore. So I spend a lot of time working with people and helping my managers. So the better my managers are, the more I can put on them, the more efficient I can make them, the more they can help me. So trying to truly become a manager,
mm-hmm.
and not just, not just an owner.
All right. Roy, how about you? Biggest regret so far?
It's kind of early, but I don't have like a big regret. It's already 2 months, and every day is a learning opportunity.
But I like that learning opportunity.
Every day you woke up and you learn something new, especially you are in the business world, and you get a lot of advice, as Paul said, and you know what's good, what's bad for you. And now when I'm the other side of the equation, I used to be a customer. Every time I go to a coffee shop or a different store, I look at things differently. So that's a perspective. But maybe... again, having someone next to me, a manager that can help me more, so I can focus more on the big picture and not just the daily operation, because the first weeks of operation are really hard. So it's not easy. You need someone by your side that can help you with the daily operation, while the owner or the general manager can focus more about the big picture.
Right. And how many hours would you say you're putting in right now?
Right now, I would say around 12 hours a day. When we started, till a week ago, it was 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's hard. But again, what you give is what you get. That's my business philosophy. And I'm really hands-on with my managing approach. But I believe that later it just become better. When you get the right people and you feel more confident about the business.
Okay, good. Anita, what do you think? Biggest regret that most people have in going into franchising?
Well, my biggest regret is not becoming a prima ballerina. I should never have quit those ballet lessons.
That would serve you well now.
Yeah.
I could see you plating or whatever you do.
I don't know. After seeing Black Swan, I'm not so sure.
All right. Yeah. I'd see that. She looks a little evil in some of those previews. So
confused anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I, I know you're going to say I'm being too positive again, but I really don't have any regrets other than maybe not having found my passion sooner. I mean, I tell you, people that shouldn't look just at their passion. You got to look at your skill set. But I'm enjoying what I'm doing so much. I know I'll buy another franchise. I really am passionate about business ownership in general. I've never been happier than since I've taken control of my destiny. And yeah, you do work really hard and you put in a lot of hours, especially at the beginning when you're starting a business or starting a franchise. But the beauty is with a business, not so much with my consulting practice, and that's why I will buy another franchise. I still have, you know, the partnership in the Keller Williams, but it can grow into passive income over time. It's how I was able to take a sabbatical and go spend time with my parents because I had a franchise that was still providing passive income to me. And I know there's others that can do that either from an investment perspective, which is probably how I'll approach it in the future. Or if you do decide to go into it full time, as these gentlemen are doing, you know, building multiple units, that still will become easier over time when you don't want to spend all that much time. You hire more management, you hire more general managers, and you can start to have more of a life as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I had just gotten on this path
a little bit
sooner.
Early,
yeah. I'd be further down the road.
Paul?
I just want to point out the work and the hours you put in are different when you're doing it for yourself.
Absolutely.
And I know people know that and say that. It's real. And, you know, the first night that we were open, I got a call from the alarm company at 11:30 at night because of grand opening balloon and set off our motion detector. ridiculous. A freshman mistake I didn't know about. So, I wasn't mad about having to drive down the store. I mean, it's just different.
It's yours.
It's your baby.
It feels different and it's all progressing. And so the hours are tough, but they feel good.
Yeah. It's certainly different when you're doing something you're passionate about versus doing something that you have to do for a paycheck. Right. So, in going through the process, and you guys go back to the beginning stages when you didn't know anything about franchising, and put yourself in the position of listeners out there that are maybe saying, yeah, maybe franchising is something that might be good for me. What is the best question that you asked in this process of figuring out, A, to go into a franchise, or B, what franchise to go into?
I can start.
Go ahead.
I can say, speak with... Make sure that the franchisor is involved and committed to help you being successful, because it's important that both sides' goal will be determined and that the business will grow together. And that includes training, hiring, grand opening, final location together, making business together in the right way.
They all say they're going to do that, Roy, don't they? Don't all of them go like, oh, we're right behind you, slap you on the back and tell you how great they're going to be. How did you know that Yogli Mogli was really going to be there for you?
It's a big question. And, you know, all the time, especially when you own a business, there is a risk. But once you go with franchising, you minimize the risk a little bit. And also, you get to speak with another franchisees. And you get their feeling. Speak with them. What do you think about this franchisor? What did he give you? What do you get?
Mm-hmm.
How do you like this relationship? Because this contract is just like a wedding. So you definitely want to make sure that you are getting married with the right person.
Yeah, or else the divorce, you know, the prenup has to come into play pretty quick, eh? Anita, what do you think?
There's so many. I don't think there's one question. I mean, I think the first question is just...
I'm not letting you off the hook this time.
Okay.
I'm not going to let you off the hook this time.
You've got to determine if you're even suited for business ownership.
Okay.
You know, are you self-motivated enough? Are you going to make it happen? You know, look at your background. Have you taken initiative in the roles that you've had before? Or have you been really frustrated because you haven't been allowed to? The biggest thing that stops people, I think, is just fear. It amazes me how a lot of... senior executives that have been super successful in their careers, and they start to look at franchising because they need to look at other options, and they can go into a job interview and sell themselves and be so positive and you know, believe in themselves and what they're going to be able to do for this company, and then they start looking at going into business for themselves, and they kind of this deer in the headlights thing that they don't think they can do it if it's for them. That fear of failure, also the fear of investment,
mm-hmm.
You know, losing that investment, but just that fear of failure. Can I do it by myself? And so I think introspection into thinking about that. And if you're married, making sure your spouse is fully on board. I think that's a crucial decision. We come across that all the time with people that are looking at entering franchising. You know, there's this there's a security people still frequently feel that there's much more security in a job as opposed to owning your own business. And unfortunately, those rules are changing.
Yeah.
You know, the new statistics are that it's about, for executive positions, last about 2.3 years, and it can take a year longer to find a job. So you start amortizing your salary over that period of time. You know, what really is more secure? So if you know that you are self-motivated enough and that you choose a franchise that has the right skill set for you, for your background, you know, and that there's just so many questions that you can ask yourself in that process to come to a proper answer.
Okay, so just making sure that you are ready for being a business owner is really the main question. Okay, Paul, what do you think?
Well, I've got two answers. One of them is the important question for me to answer was the VP of sales at a Fortune 500 company going to get me where I wanted to be long term with my family financially and all those things. So that was a very tough question. And I did have support from my spouse, and the answer was no. I didn't think it was. So I moved 15 times in 15 years, and I wasn't sure that this was going to be the last one. And there is no security, even when you're working for really large companies. So first I had to make that decision, and that was incredibly scary. But then the next best questions were all to franchise owners at Sport Clips. And I interviewed with some people who were pretty negative about Sport Clips. And that helped me. It helped me because it helped me formulate my questions for the next person I talked to. Because this was this person's experience and helped me understand why that person may have been so negative. Is one of those people that wasn't very engaged, as I found out. But I had to have those interviews and those conversations and ask those questions. So having faith that you can run your business, like she's talking about, I think it's great. And then having the confidence to be able to say, but I probably don't know everything I need to, and mm-hmm. I need to ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I think you need to be able to do both those things.
Great.
Most people think opening up a franchise is entrepreneurial, and it is to a certain degree. It's sort of like semi-entrepreneurial. The biggest reason that franchises typically fail, unless it's just a bad model to begin with, is because the franchisee does not follow the model. I was doing research for one of my candidates that wanted to do something in the tutoring space, and this was a big national tutoring company. And item 19, franchising is very, very regulated, federally regulated. There's 23 items on the franchise disclosure document that have to be filled out. Item 19 is an earnings claim, which many don't make, but many do. So you can get a feel for how much money the average franchisee is making in whatever model that might be. And in doing this research, I asked her if they had an item 19, and they did. And she was telling me how much typically dropped to the bottom line to the franchisee. And she said, but now our corporate stores do almost double that. So they had corporate owned stores and they had franchise stores. So I was taken aback. I said, so what's your secret sauce? What are you keeping from your franchisees that they're not as successful as you are? She said, we're not keeping anything from them. We just do everything we tell them to do, and they just won't do it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Spending the money on the marketing, you know, using the consultants that they have available. Maybe some of them have a call center, whatever the model might be. So that was a real eye opener for me. And it's true. You just follow the model. Use the resources that they have available for you. That's why you did it. Okay, and I'd like to throw in one more question. Yeah. I think that's really important because there's a lot of interest in home-based franchises mm-hmm. these days as opposed to brick and mortar, oftentimes because of the low cost. But I think another real super important question is just to evaluate your skill set from a sales and marketing perspective, because if you don't really have the gut to get out there and sell and market yourself and network and all of the things, you have to do in any business, even with brick and mortar, but it becomes really crucial if you want to do something home-based. So I think a real evaluation on that, looking at yourself and your comfort level with getting out and meeting people and networking is very, very important in the franchise discovery process.
So let me run with that thought and kind of wrapping today's session up, and that is your advice, your pearl of wisdom that we like to ask our guests at the end of the show, that you would give other people that might be looking at franchises. What would be your pearl of wisdom for them?
Call me.
Call you. That's awesome. No.
You know, we've awesome.
I'm not letting you do that, Anita. I'm not giving you an out.
I finally gave you a straight answer, John. No, seriously. It's things that we've talked about already. Surround yourself with good people. I think we've really covered that. Surround yourself with good people from the exploratory stage at the beginning through, you know, once you become operational, having good people working with you and making certain that you get into a good model that is recession resistant at a minimum and doesn't have trends, you know, whether they be population trends or whatever that are going to be damaging to it or technology trends that are going to be damaging to it in the long run, and make sure that it fits your skill set and or that you have the ability to for your skill weaknesses, that's a position that you know you can fill and manage well.
Now, that was more of a necklace of wisdom, but we'll go ahead and take that.
Okay.
Roy, what do you think? What would you give as your pearl of wisdom?
Based on my experience, I would say that definitely utilize as much as efficient and effective information as possible. Get out there, speak with people, get consultant, speak with a CPA, speak with an attorney, speak with a professional, just like Anita recommend, and just like her. And make sure that the franchisor is committed to your success and to his success. And just follow these guidelines. There is a lot of information out there. You have to find the most important one. You can go online, which is the most efficient way, but also you will need to spend a little bit of money if you want to get the effective one. So I believe it's a good investment, and you should definitely invest energy and time if you want to be a successful franchisee.
Okay. And Paul, wrapping things up, what do you think?
I think you should be honest with yourself and make sure you consider what you want to do versus what you're willing to do. Sometimes they're not the same, unfortunately. Business plans, operational agreements, and financing, really important. I think if you can set up a situation where you don't have to worry about the financing all the time, you're not worried about making payroll, you're not worrying about paying the rent, particularly at the beginning, so you can set your business up where you can focus on service and the product and the customer experience, then all those other things take care of themselves long term. So plan and set yourself up for success.
Okay. Well, that's great stuff. I think...
Can I add one more thing to that jewelry
box? No, we're done. No, go ahead. You get 30
one thing
seconds.
we didn't touch on is, in addition to financing, is really knowing that you're capitalized enough. More businesses fail because they're undercapitalized. Not only enough money to operate your business, you know, with some type of idea of when it will be self-sufficient, but also your own personal living expenses. And we haven't touched on that at all, but it's crucial to make sure you're well capitalized up front before you enter into starting your own business.
Yeah, that's certainly a big deal we deal with all the time with clients looking at something like this. Is it's not just about operating capital, but you got to pay your mortgage also.
Exactly.
Right? So, all right. Well, thank you guys for coming. I appreciate your time. It was enlightening to hear about your stories and experiences, and we wish you all the best of luck. We appreciate your time, and hopefully this has been helpful for you.
Been a lot of fun. Thank you, John.
So really quick, let's just go around the horn and any communication if people had questions for you or, you know, wanted to get in contact with you. Paul, what's the best way to do for you?
If you're looking for a job, sportclips.com. You can go in there and post your resume, and it will go to every owner of Sport Clips in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
So recommend that, www.sportclips.com. If you'd like to get in contact with me, I'd be happy to talk to you on my cell phone, 770-876-2958.
Okay. Roy?
Yep. Come visit me at my store. I'm there almost all of the time. We open at 11 o'clock and we are there till 10 or 11, depends on the day. Come see the location. Come see how much time and energy we invested and how much time and energy it requires to have your own business.
And where is it?
It's in Dunwoody.
Okay.
It's on the corner of Mount Vernon and then with the club drive.
Okay.
Next to Sport Clips.
Next to Sport Clips, yeah. You can have a haircut.
And not Starbucks any longer, right? Starbucks.
You can cut your hair and then come get a treat.
Get ice cream.
Yogli Mogli.
There you go.
Yep. And you can always contact me through my email address, which is danwoody@yoglimogli.com.
Okay. Perfect. Anita.
You can always call me on my phone is 404-218-7808 or visit my website, findyourfranchise.com, just like it sounds. There's about 450 franchise opportunities on my website, but there's many that I work with that are not listed there. Those are the ones through a national affiliation that I'm with. So there's others as well than what's there, but it's a good place to start doing a little bit of preliminary research. There's a lot of information there.
Okay. Well, once again, thanks, guys. And to all our listeners, thank you for your time. Until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.